This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome into a brand new episode of Crossed Up. It's Monday morning after a four-game series with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Anthony, you were down there a lot this weekend, and I would say it was an up-and-down weekend. It was kind of a boring weekend, man. Like, the Phillies just, they continue to not hit, and they continue to play sloppy baseball, and they're 8-8, and the sky is not falling. They're okay. You know, they haven't buried themselves here, but pretty unimpressive weekend for the Philadelphia Phillies here, and I'm very interested to see what your thoughts are, because after yesterday's little 9-2 meltdown, I gotta tell you, like, I came away from this thing pretty down on the Phillies just a couple days after being pretty up on them.
Well, we're on brand here, Bob, to, you know, record on following a loss. We were scheduled to go on Friday, and we couldn't because of some external things that took place. So we're like, it's a shame because they won Thursday night.
Yeah, we could have come on, been all happy, talked about a nice win, finally hit some home runs. But instead, here we are.
Yeah, coming up.
Talking after the Phillies scored two runs against the Pirates, and they scored, seven runs over the final three games of this series. And, you know, we're talking today here, and there are a lot of good things to say. Like, we've talked so much about Trey Turner and his struggles. Now, all of a sudden, you look up, he's hitting over 300. So OPS jumped by almost 100 points yesterday after three hits. Finally gets his first homer of the season. So that's good.
Yeah.
Phillies pitching, for the most part, continues to be pretty good. I thought Christopher Sanchez got himself into some situations on Friday night, but worked through it. Zach Wheeler, I thought, was okay yesterday. Not vintage Zach Wheeler, but still pretty decent. Turnbull fought, you know. The pitching's been fine. The Phillies this morning, Anthony, are dead last among National League teams in runs per game. Not middle of the pack, dead last.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you wrap your mind around that?
It's weird, right? Because for the whole team to be struggling like that, you know, that doesn't happen that often for a team like this with these players. And really, the wrap your head around it is you just don't have to look any further than Harper. I mean, guy's really struggling. I think two for his last 30. Just looks really uncomfortable at the plate. I know he had that stretch last week where he was on fire for five games, and then that was it. Pull that out, and he's been the worst hitter in baseball.
Yeah, I've actually got some stuff on him, and since you brought him up, I'll just drop it right here. I mean, he's hitting 190 this season. He's hitting the same as Nick Castellanos, who we've talked so much about how bad he's been. He's hitting a percentage point better than Johan Rojas right now, and we all know his struggles. And, I mean, here's the killer. You could talk about the three home run game, and that's fantastic, but Bryce Harper's played 15 games this season. He's failed a homer in 14 of them. And the true killer of this whole thing is that he's 2 for 25 with runners on base this season. He's hitting 080 with runners on, and he's 2 for 14, 143, with runners in scoring position. I mean, it's been a mess. Over his last seven games, he's 2 for 27 with a 305 OPS. You talk about the Phillies' inability to score runs, and there is a long list of guys that are not playing up to snuff, not playing up to par, but man, Bryce Harper is at the top of it right now.
Yeah, and it's just, he seems, I don't know, he's all over the place right now. He just seems really frustrated with a couple of things. I mean, look, he had a couple balls. He hit one on, was it Friday night, to like the center field wall, and that would have been a home run under normal circumstances. I mean, he even said afterwards, it's April in Philadelphia, right? I mean, that's his response to it, and he's not wrong. I mean, that's what, you know, any other month of the year, that's out of the park. He hit another one yesterday to deep center field. Wasn't quite as deep as the one on Friday night, but I mean, that one looked like it had some good carry on it that maybe in warmer weather gets out of the ballpark. So you have a couple of swings in there where you go, okay. But I think that adds, but that adds to his frustration because he feels like I can't get a hit. I'm a little off. My swing's not right. But even the ones that I feel like I'm getting good swings on are ending up being caught. And yeah. And I think that's where his frustration has really started to get the better of him.
I think you nailed it. And I actually touched on this in my newsletter this morning, which I'll send out after we're done recording this. But it's pretty simple for me. Like if you really dive into some of the deeper numbers, most of the contact looks the same year over year. The chase rate is up a little bit. So he's striking out a little bit more frequently. The walk rate is down. The biggest thing, like if you believe in barrel percentage, that's actually down drastically. He's at a career worst 7.1%. And just for some context, that was at 15% a year ago. So like not great. But when you look at this, right? Like I think you have a guy who is feeling it a little bit right now. You know, the timing's off. I think he's frustrated. I think he's going outside the zone a little bit more than he usually does. I think that his approach has been a little bit more aggressive to his detriment than it usually is. And then just in terms of batted ball profile, he usually hits the ball in the air about 30% of the time. His line drive percentage last year was about 24.5%. It's down to 16.7% right now. So not as many line drives, more fly balls. Last year, 30%. This year, he's at 43% with his fly ball rate. During a time where he's playing in 50-degree weather, it's raining every night, the ball doesn't carry like it does in the middle of the year, and that's probably cost him two or three extra base hits, maybe two or three home runs. You add those to the mix, and then all of a sudden, you're not quite as down on him right now. But I just think it's a lot of different things, none of which are all that concerning to me through 16 games. But certainly he has not been good enough, and he's killing them right now. And I think it's fair to say that. Like it's two different things here. One, am I worried about it? Not really, barring injury, which I just see the way he moves at first base, and I just don't think that you can pin this on injury.
No.
So I'm not concerned long term, but yeah, is he crushing them right now? Yeah, he sure is.
Sure is. Absolutely is. I mean, you know, when you look at like what some of the other guys around him have done, yeah, we've talked about Castellanos. We know Stott's gotten off to a slow start. We know the nine hole is a like batting a pitcher. But I mean, Schwarber's had a decent start. He was on base all five times.
Pitching he has,
especially against lefties, right? I mean, it's weird. But that's working for him, which is good because last year he didn't do very well against left-handed pitching. So that's a positive. Like you mentioned, Turner's kind of come around a little bit, right? We know Marsh has gotten off to a good start. Real Muto's been okay so far. Like Alec Bohm's been Alec Bohm. So like you're getting some production, but the big gaping hole right now is the three hole. It's supposed to be your best hitter in your lineup is just not giving you anything. And I think that's why you look at it and say, well, why are they bottom of the league in runs? Well, that's part of it. I mean, it's not the whole story, but it's a good part of it. It's a good chunk of it. Because if Bryce Harper is anywhere close to what he is expected to be, the Phillies probably score, I don't know, over 16 games, they probably score another 9-10 runs. And is that a difference of a couple wins? Probably. And if the team's 10-6 with Harper performing as he should have been, as opposed to being 8-8, nobody's complaining right
well,
now.
Well, and that's the thing that's so interesting about it. It's like if you get out of that series 3 out of 4 and you wake up today and you're 9-7, you're a game behind Atlanta, you feel like, okay, that's three straight series they would have won. Is that right? Because they won.
Yeah.
Yeah, St. Louis, and then they won. Where were they last Washington. Week? That was Washington, right?
Washington and St. Louis.
Yeah, so won, you put together three straight series wins. You're a couple games over 500. You have the White Sox. You have the Rockies this week. And you feel like this team's going to make a run. They haven't really put it all together yet, but the pitching looks really good. I feel good about where they're headed and where they're going to finish the month of April. You lose, though, yesterday. And you lose in the fashion that you did because you have Zach Wheeler out there. And again, like this, Zach Wheeler should not be absolved from blame yesterday. His sixth inning was not good. Alec Bohm starts it with the error. It was a terrible play. Philly's really sloppy. And I want to get to that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But Zach Wheeler has to work around that. Like, he can't just let that thing get completely away from him. You know, Pelez got a couple good swings against him early in the game. Couldn't put him away. He walks him. Like, it just – Zach Wheeler has to find a way to bear down there. He does. And, you know, for a fan base that always gets upset when Zach Wheeler comes out of the game early, here's Rob Thompson in 100 pitches saying, like, you're my guy. Go get it. And he didn't get it done in that situation. So I'm not going to totally remove him from blame here, but – Zach Wheeler, four starts so far. The Phillies have been outscored 25-6 in his starts. They're not even scoring two runs per game right now when he takes the ball, Anthony. Like, you can't go through a season where you just continue to waste, you know, one of the best pitchers in the National League. And that's what they've done through these first three weeks.
No, for sure. And you're right. I mean, Wheeler was a little off. Yes, it's funny to say he was a little off because he had 10 strikeouts in 5
strikeouts. Yeah, the command wasn't there. You know, the command just was not there yesterday for him.
Yeah, especially, I think he was really, you know, he's got that new splitter. I think he was struggling with that a little bit. You know, I think he was looking, trying to find it and command it. Had a few walks, had a couple, two wild pitches. So Wheeler was certainly not at his best. But I was the AP guy yesterday, so obviously I had to go talk to the Pirates after the game. So I went in there and manager Derek Shelton was like, you know, he was most impressed with the fact that he felt like his players made Wheeler work. Like, they grinded out those at bats. And that's something that we're used to seeing the Phillies doing, right? I mean, like, we talk about that all the time, how the Phillies, you know, grind out and work, you know, starting pitchers and get them out of the game and get into bullpens. And right. And that's, you know, that's kind of what the Pirates' hope was. Just so happens Sawinski hits the grand slam, because really up to that point, the Phillies are winning.
Yeah.
Right. The Phillies are winning the game up to that point. So, you know, that's the big blow, of course, but credit to the Pirates, who've gotten off to a solid start for them. They had some good at bats. They did make him work on some of those ABs, even the balls, even some outs that they got, even some of the strikeouts. There were a lot of deep counts. And some of that's Wheeler not having great command. I get it in the game. But I think some of it, you got to give credit to the Pirates for having a good approach to the plate. You know, and it might be just one. It might be for Wheeler, from Wheeler's perspective, it might be just one of those types of games where the other team, you know, tip your cap a little bit. The other team did a nice job at the plate against you.
We've gone into great detail about the lack of offense and the struggles of numerous players. One of the things that I find to be, and to a degree, I find it somewhat concerning. I don't know that I find it to be truly worrisome, and I don't, like, I'll allow for it a little bit early. They've played in a ton of bad weather. I do think that when it's all said and done, they'll be a top 10 offense in runs per game. I still expect them to get there. And I know it's hard to say that right now based on what we've seen, because it has been bad. What I do find to be unacceptable, though, is just the style of play that they've brought to the table over these first 2+ weeks here. You know, they this weekend had a hard time executing the pitcher-catcher transfer. Like, they right now, it's wild pitches. It's pass balls. Like, the Phillies right now are one of, I believe, three teams that have three pass balls in 16 games. If you add up wild pitches and pass balls, there are only two teams in baseball that have allowed more free bases than the Phillies pitcher-catcher combinations. I'm not talking about stolen bases, which has been a problem as well. The Phillies are just giving teams extra bases right now, and that was a big problem this weekend. Garrett Stubbs had some trouble on Saturday. Real Muto had some trouble yesterday, certainly on the double steal, as it was, I think, eventually scored. Real Muto basically gifts the Pirates a run there. I know that JT is a gamer. I know that he is tough as hell, and he deserves a lot of credit for being able to even play, you know? So I think he deserves some degree of grace here, but I have not been impressed with the Phillies defensively. For as much as we've talked about and heard about how much better this team is defensively across the board, that hasn't really been the case. And I think that there's been some problems behind the plate too. I mean, they have to clean this up. Their style of play right now has just been sloppy.
There's a lot of cleaning up that needs to happen. I mean, you know, we've talked about Turner before. He actually didn't have a bad game yesterday, but you know, the Bohm error, Then later in the game, a single by Jared Triolo turns into a triple when Brandon Marsh fields a ball to his side as opposed to staying behind the ball, right? Like, it's again, like, that's just like so fundamental. And then you talk about the pitcher catcher exchanges, you know, and yeah, you had two wild pitches, but you also had a pass ball. You had what should have been a throwing error, and I stand by this, and I know what the rule is on the double steal, but the reality of it is that Andrew McCutchen does not start to come home until that ball is in the air on its way to second base.
Absolutely, 100%. It's an error. If you don't want to count it as one, it's an error.
It's an error, okay? That should have been an error. And, of course, that affects Zach Wheeler because that counts as an earned run now after they changed that ruling. So now you have a pass ball by the catcher. You have a throw into the outfield that should have been an error by the catcher. You have two wild pitches by the pitcher. You have a booted ground ball to third base. You have a booted single to left field that turns into a triple. All in one game. That's not even going into the stuff that's happened elsewhere in this season. You know, you mentioned some of the stuff with the pitchers and catchers. We know, but Stubbs had a problem, but then Turner's errors and other mistakes that have happened. I don't know. Like, at some point,
you can draw back to it though too. Like, you get not a quick lead, but you get the lead early on the Turner home run, and it's like boom, from a momentum standpoint, right back to you. And we gave it to you, and it just it changes the entire feel of the game, right? Because if you hold 1-0, you get out of that inning. You can look at the final score and say, oh, 9-2. Well, come on, what are we talking about? And I know that at the heart of this, it's about the offense, but anybody that knows baseball knows that there's a flow to the game and a rhythm to the game and the momentum of the game. And it was just a really deflating moment. And when you give teams extra bases like that, you give teams free bases like that, it really just sort of changes the whole feel. And I think that was a big part of what happened yesterday. And, you know, you look at it, I have it right here. The Phillies right now are 23rd in baseball in defensive runs saved, -4 as a team. If you combine pass balls and wild pitches, only two teams have allowed more bases on pitch execution. One of two teams with three pass balls is tied for worst in baseball. Like, that's indefensible. You know, for a team that's supposed to be better, for a team that's supposed to make this a point of emphasis. And then the other part of it is we talk about the pitching staff, and you look at the bullpen ERA, and it's not great, but I think if you watch this game in, game out, you understand that they've done a pretty good job. You know that the starting staff has done a very solid job thus far. But, man, like, what a grind it is on your pitching staff to have absolutely no margin for error. Like, you're Zach Wheeler, and you go out there, and you're like, now not only am I pitching against the other team, I'm pitching against the lack of offense I'm getting. And, oh, by the way, now I'm pitching against shitty defense, too. I mean, that takes a toll in time on a staff to just have no ability to go out and say, all right, I've got 3-4 runs, or I have a feeling that my teammates are going to back me up and give me the support that I need. I can take a deep breath here and just go to work and not have to worry about being so fine pitch to pitch. And this staff has not gotten the benefit of any of that thus far.
No, they have not. And that's got to be a frustration. I mean, really, for the pitchers. And they're never going to say it. You're going to be a good teammate, right? They're not going to sit there and complain that our guys aren't hitting or our guys aren't playing good enough defense behind me. And they're not going to show. They're the one thing about the Phillies group that, and this is why you probably don't feel overly concerned, is that they all are. One of the things that's important in the sport is they are a solid team. We've talked about it before, right? Like, as far as how much they like each other and how much they play for each other. And so, therefore, they're never going to say it out loud. But you know inside that these pitchers are like, you know, I'm out here busting my ass for this team right now. And these kind of mistakes, they eat away at you a little bit. It's not going to change how they feel about each other. They're not going to suddenly go, you know, oh, it's this guy's fault, it's that guy's fault. That stuff's not going to happen. But it's human nature, right? Like, you know inside that those guys are sitting there saying to themselves, man, if that one ball was fielded properly, or if that one throw was made right, we probably could win this game. And that frustration kind of sits there in the back of your head. So the next time you go out there and you're thinking about what I have to do to help this team win, maybe you try again. This is where, you know, you hear Rob Thompson say all the time, guys try to do too much. That's his famous line, right? When things are going bad, guys are trying to do too much. And what he means by that is it's kind of a vague statement for, you know, they take so much on themselves because they're worried about what has happened previously behind them or around them by their teammates, and they feel that they need to make up the difference, right? And it's kind of like the one, I don't want to call it a negative because it's not a negative, but it's the one downside to having a group of guys who really like playing for each other, because it's not that there's no accountability. There is accountability, but it's that I like this guy so much, I'm going to go out of my way to be even better than I can be to help pick him up. And sometimes that hurts you. And I think that that's why they kind of go in phases, and it's a little bit of a roller coaster with some guys because they're trying to pick up the guy next to them that maybe made the previous mistake, if that makes any sense.
It's interesting you bring this up. I've only been down there 3 times so far. You've certainly been down there more than I've been. One thing that it kind of comes across on TV, though, is it doesn't look like these dudes are having like as much fun right now. I don't know what it is, but it just seems like from the couch, it just seems like they're kind of grinding through it. You know, they have the walk-off on Saturday. Okay, great. If you can't go out and run around the field and have fun with that, then I don't know what you're doing. But you just don't see a lot of energy when they pan into the dugout. You see a lot of frustration, and certainly it's hard to have a lot of energy and be rah-rah when you're not hitting, and this team isn't hitting. So I think that it's always a little – people get a little bit mistaken. They'll say, like, oh, the Phillies aren't playing with any life. Well, it's not that they're not playing with any life. It's just that they're not producing runs, so it looks right, like they're sort of lifeless. But the thing that I sort of land on isn't that they're not into it or they're not fired up for one another, but it's – I really think there's something to this, and they admitted as much last season after the World Series run. I think that you play in front of 45,000 people. You have a certain vibe, a certain feel in the air in October, and I think it is very hard for a team that is dialed in on a goal to get up when they know that there's a grind of 162 games in front of them, and it's the middle of April, and that the weather sucks. And you can listen to this and say, that's all horseshit, because to a degree it is. It's like, you don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear it. It's you made a point to say you were going to get out fast this year, so get out fast. And they won't say it again. I guarantee you they will not admit this, nor should they. But I know in the heart of hearts, these guys are like, it's not October. We're not there yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was going to bring up the weather maybe being part of the, you know, yesterday was the first really nice game that they had at home. And weather-wise. And I think that, you know, sometimes you sit there and go, it's tough to get all juiced up, you know, when you're sitting out there in the rain or you're sitting out there and it's 46 degrees and windy. Like, it's just tough, man. Like, to really kind of get, you know, get that kind of juice going for baseball. Anyway, it was football, be different.
Yesterday, you had 45,000 out there on a gift from the gods.
It was a beautiful day.
So yeah, I don't want to hear it yesterday. Not this time.
No, for sure. For sure. But one thing, and this is, I'm working on a story, Bob. I'll give a little tease on this. I mean, it's not ready yet, but I've been working on a story, talking with a few guys. I even talked to Caleb Cotham a little bit yesterday about why the Phillies and what the Phillies do training-wise to keep their pitchers healthy. And, you know, just kind of like, you know, what goes into it, what the day-to-day is like. I had a good conversation with Jeff Hoffman about it, about how, you know, the some things that maybe go on around baseball or have gone on around baseball in years past are not done here in Philadelphia, in the sense of, you know, 20-year-olds are not discouraged from going into the training room on a daily basis, you know, things along those lines. Mm-hmm. But we're just kind of like diving into the, you know, what has gone into it. And in conversation with Caleb yesterday, what I really kind of got from that was that there is an approach that this team takes. And we've talked about this that last year when they were talking about keeping everybody healthy, that it's almost like you get a sense of they recognize that in order to be the team they want to be in October, that there's going to be lulls during the year because they're pulling back. They're making sure guys are okay. They know they're talented enough to get there by the end of the season that they almost have. And it's from a fan perspective, it's almost frustrating, right? You're like, because you want your guys going 100%, 162 games a year, right? You know, that's what you want. And you could see it yesterday after the Grand Slam. And the Grand Slam only puts Pittsburgh up 5-2. You're only down 3 runs. But you could see it at that point. It was like, okay, they're done for today.
Yes, like, there was no shot they were going to win that game after that Grand Slam.
Forget it. It's over. Right? Like, that was a game. It's like, all right, we're going to take the foot off the pedal here. You know, all of a sudden you're bringing in, they brought in Dominguez first, but he's probably their fourth right-hander right now. Then you go Pinto after that. Like, we're not going to their other guys in the bullpen. It's almost like we're waving the white flag a little bit. Didn't bat for Rojas in the next inning. Right when you got guy on base, grounds into a double play, you got a guy on base. Like, okay, maybe if we get you get somebody else on base here, and you got Schwarber coming up, you get back within a run in the seventh inning, right? You know, yeah, so he grounds into the double play, ends the inning. They don't bat for Rojas in that spot. It's almost like they sit there and go, we're gonna take it easy at this point. And I know that could be frustrating at times, but they really believe in their process that taking it a little bit slower, developing it over the course of the season is what makes them so dangerous in October and not as dangerous in April. Again, it's just something I get they're not saying that publicly. Nobody came out and said that to me, but just in the process of working on this story, I get a couple of ideas, a couple of thoughts that come from guys. And I sit there and say to myself, that's an even bigger picture story. Like, that's an even bigger kind of an approach and philosophy that this organization seems to have. And it's worked for them the last 2 years. Why get away from it now? And that's not to say that they're not trying to win games in April, but they understand that there's a pacing that needs to happen and how things go.
The people listening to this show are absolutely going to love hearing that. They're going to love that.
Again, it wasn't specifically said to me that this is what we do. I want to be crystal clear that was not how it was expressed. But what it was that just the way that these things were being talked about, you could sit there and almost go, okay, they are thinking down the road. They're not thinking right now. And maybe it's easy to kind of get caught up in that a little bit, get caught up in what it's going to take to get to October again, that it sometimes you lose the what's right in front of you in the moment. And that's why you lose some of these games.
Well, I'll tell you what, their foot better be on the gas this week, because you're bringing in a Colorado team that comes to Citizens Bank Park 4-12 this season. We talk about run differential. They have the third worst run differential in all of baseball at -34. Then that gets followed by the Chicago White Sox, who are arguably one of the worst teams, at least in the early going, that I can remember. They're 2-13 right now. And so you're playing two teams that are combined 6-25. So far this season, they have to take advantage of it. If there were ever a week, and there's been, I think, a little bit of a misperception about what the Phillies' schedule has been so far. Are they better than the Reds? Should they be better than the Reds? Yes. Should you win a home series against the Reds? You should. They didn't. They go to St. Louis. Are the Phillies better than the Cardinals? I think so. They take care of business there. They win a series. Are they better than the Nationals? Yeah, of course they are. They win a series there. Not sweeping is frustrating, obviously, but no big deal. But these teams aren't that bad. Pittsburgh's off to a good start. They've got a couple interesting arms. They play tough. That's not a cupcake. Maybe it is when you get to September, but right now these teams are playing okay ball and they have some players. This week that changes. This Rockies team utterly blows. I mean, they are a wretched baseball team. And the Phillies should sweep them. They really should. You talk so much about getting off to a good start, and this year is going to be different, process and everything that you just talked about aside. You got to find a way to come in here and take care of business against this team this week. It has to happen, especially when you go Nola. You're going to have Suarez on the mound. Like, you have two of your dudes on the mound. Find a way to go out and sweep a team and kind of finally break free of this magnetic pull that they seem to have back to the 500 mark. And when you get the White Sox in here this weekend, it should be the same damn thing. I'm not going to sit here and say that the Phillies should go 6-0. It's hard to win 6 straight games. Doesn't matter what time of year it is. Doesn't matter the opponent. But you better find a way to go 5-1 this week. You really should.
Yeah.
You really should.
I'm glad you said it because I was going to say it. I think anything less than 5-1 against the Rockies and White Sox is unacceptable.
Yeah.
I mean, 4-2, you go, okay, but you're not you're like, okay, well, you're over 500, right? You're 12-10. Okay. But it should be better, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you shouldn't lose 2 out of these 6 games. You should win 5 out of 6. Anything, if it's less than 4-2, to me, it's a disaster.
Right.
It's a disaster.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if this is a split, you split the next 6 games or you don't win, you know, if you're not on the plus side of 500 in these next 6 games, we're going to come on here next Monday and be like, holy shit. You know,
correct.
I think that we've been pretty measured in all of this. I think that you note what has not gone well. You talk about some of the positives. They're 8-8. I don't have any huge takeaways. I've been getting a lot of messages, a lot of DMs, especially from some listeners that are like, this team ain't it. This team sucks. You know, Bryce Harper looks baked. Nick Castellanos looks baked. I think that there's real concern here. Like, I think that you're allowed to be aggravated. I don't see that, though. I don't see a team that is baked. I don't see that a team that we thought was going to win 93 games is suddenly going to win 81 games. I don't think they're a 500 team. But I certainly do get the frustration. I'll be a little bit less forgiving if we're doing this a week from now. If the Phillies are scoring 2.5 runs per game against inferior opponents, they're still kicking the ball around. They can't execute a pitch to the plate without giving away bases. Yeah, I think that my tune will change a little bit if they don't put it together this week. But this is the one that I had circled at the beginning of the year. I was like, this is where you kind of make your move. If you want to be a 93-win team, this is where you do it. If you want to get to the end of April 4 or 5 games over 500, this is where you do it. So this is, to me, kind of like moving week for them.
Yeah, and I think even more so, Bob, you know, and if you recall, go back a year and when we would look at, we would be in this spot and their Phillies were off to kind of a slow start last year. And we looked ahead and we said, well, you know, you look at the later in the season, that schedule really favors them going to, you know, at the end of the year, they play a bunch of weak teams and that's going to be good for the Phillies. This year, not so much. They got some. I mean, you know, the Marlins stink and, you know, and who knows what the Mets are going to be. You got them 7 times, but you got the Brewers and the Cubs before the last series against the Nationals. It's not as easy of a schedule. August is pretty tough, you know, with the Mariners and the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks and Atlanta and Houston. I mean, like, you got a bunch of teams there. So, like, you don't have that soft, pillowy landing spot in your schedule at the end of the year to kind of build up those wins like they did last year. Okay. Right. So, and when you have it, you have to take advantage of it. And for the Phillies, it's early this year and they're getting it right now. And I think that this is a time when they have to really kind of take advantage of this, because if not, and then you got to go out on a lengthy road trip with Cincinnati, San Diego, and the Angels. Not like you're talking about the 3 best teams in baseball there, but they all have things that can trip you up. The next thing you know, it's May and you're coming home and you're like, why are we 500? Why are we 5 games behind Atlanta? You know, like what happened? Right. That's what you can't have happen. That's why this week is so important.
All right. I got 3 quick ones for you before we get out of here. I want to talk a little bit about Sir Anthony Dominguez. Man, if there was one inning that encapsulates the essence of Sir Anthony Dominguez right now, it was the 6th inning yesterday when he comes in for Zach Wheeler. So here's what we get from him. Strikeout on 3 pitches, finished by a 99-mile-per-hour fastball. A 7-pitch at bat that's finished with a pretty wicked 90-mile-an-hour slider. Solo home run. And then a strikeout finished on a 99-mile-per-hour fastball. If you're the Phillies, it has to be absolutely maddening, because like, this isn't Connor Brogdon, right? Where you go, like, the guy doesn't have it. He provides us with nothing. And it's not even like a Pinto who you're like, well, you know, in long man in low leverage, no leverage spots, like, it'll work for us. This is a guy that you see when he's at his best is flat out nasty. And when he's at his worst, he can kill you in the blink of an eye. And it's like, how much longer? I don't want to say how much longer can the Phillies do it. I'm not saying that this guy's in fear of losing his job or being sent down, but like, how do you even approach Sir Anthony Dominguez with the pitch-to-pitch, batter-to-batter inconsistency that he displays?
Yeah, I think that the problem with him is that his secondary pitches are just not up to snuff right now. He's got the fastball back. When that was a concern last year, there wasn't a lot of swing and miss, right, with the fastball last year. And it seems like his fastball is okay right now. But that he throws a cookie of a slider to Joey Bart, of all people, right? A guy who
left
can't hit.
Left for dead.
Right? A catcher who can't hit. It was just a hanging slider right over the plate. It wasn't even 90 miles an hour. And it was like, boom, see you later. And then, if you watch the reaction, like he's watching it go because it was down the line a little bit. And there was, initially a thought maybe it would go foul, but it didn't. It was clearly fair. It was fair by a good amount. He throws his arms up. Like he can't believe.
What am I supposed to do?
Like he can't believe that. But go back and look at the pitch, Sir Anthony. Yeah. The pitch was terrible. Yeah. It was not a good pitch. Like it would be different if it was a good pitch and the guy just somehow got it and hit it. Okay, then you throw your arms up and like, yeah, that's frustrating. But it was a bad pitch. So yeah, I think it's a concern. And right now, I think he's the fourth right-hander out of that pen. I know that they brought in Kirkering in lower leverage situation yesterday, but that was by design. They really just wanted to kind of get his feet wet, get him reacclimated, right, in the at the major league level. But ultimately, he's going to be ahead of Dominguez. We know Hoffman's their first choice right-hander right now out of the bullpen. And Junior Marte has, I think, surpassed Dominguez in leverage, at least.
What a freaking mess Friday night was, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he was not sharp on Friday night. But no. Also, are we doing the Andrew Bilotti thing with him? That's what I fear with Marte right now. It's like, this guy again, he throws Thursday night. Here he is Friday now.
Yeah.
I believe he was... that was his seventh appearance. Now
that was the seventh in 14 games. He now has had the last two games off, but
yeah. So it's nice to see him kind of grab a seat for a couple of days and reset a little bit. But that's my fear with him. This is a good thing. He's trending in the right direction. It's a positive story. Hey, Rob, don't kill him.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing.
That was an ugly, ugly ass inning on Friday night from him.
Yeah, it was.
He almost gets Real Muto hurt. Then the pitch com issues and
he actually got out of it. Which was weird. Like it was not a great inning, but it wasn't. It could have been worse. It could have been worse. So I give him credit for finding his way out of it. But, I don't know how that's not a pass ball on the cross up.
I mean, I don't know how that got scored. Right? Like that had to be. Didn't it not have to be? I mean, it was catchable ball.
This is right. It was right over
his glove. It just didn't break.
Yeah, no, it was weird. Getting back to Dominguez, right now he's your fourth right-hander out of five right-handers in your bullpen.
The other thing I have for you touched on Kyle Schwarber a little bit earlier. What a weird start for Kyle Schwarber. I'm sure a lot of people saw the note that on Saturday he reached base five times against left-handed pitching.
Yeah,
first player to do that since Richie Ashburn against Sandy Koufax in 1958. That's obviously
crazy.
That's absolutely crazy. But then you kind of look at the bigger picture and you're like, man, Kyle Schwarber for the Phillies right-handed issues right now against left-handed pitching, like Kyle Schwarber's hitting .433 against lefties right now with a 1.161 OPS. That's crazy. I mean, he hit .188 against lefties last year. I know it's very early on and I don't expect this to continue at the clip that it is certainly, but the fact that he's been so good against lefties is amazing. But then in the same breath, he's been dreadful against right-handed pitching. He's hitting .063 against righties right now with a .299 OPS. Like, can't someone on this team just put it all together? Can't we have it all, man?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you look at a guy like Schwarber and you got to assume that everything's going to regress back to the mean or climb to the mean, right? I mean, like, so he's not going to be this good all year against lefties. That's going to back up, and he's not going to be this bad all year against righties. So ultimately, it's going to get to somewhere about even, right? To even out a little bit. But if you look at it, if you're getting a .242 batting average out of Kyle Schwarber, I'll take it.
Oh yeah,
I'll take that because that means, I mean, once he starts hitting really hitting the long ball and becomes a 40-45 home run guy, and that OPS is up over 800, right? And he's probably going to start walking a little bit more. I think that's something that you're happy with. The thing that I find more impressive with him is how he's doing leading off innings, Bob, because this is the great debate about should Kyle Schwarber be the leadoff hitter, right? When he's the first batter of the game, he's hitting 400, 438 on base percentage, 800 slugging percentage, 1238 OPS. That's the first batter of the game. That's his first at bat. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And then leading off an inning just in general, which includes those numbers, but includes the other innings, is not quite as good, but still really good. 346 batting average, 452 on base, 692 slugging, 1144 on base. So when he's the first batter of the inning, he's been great. When he's not the first batter of the inning, he's been terrible. So it's like, it's so crazy. It's you could look at him and he defies logic at all stretches with the way he is the plate.
He really does. One more for you. If it feels like the Phillies are hitting into double plays every other minute, it's because they are. There are, let's see, three teams right now in baseball that have hit into more double plays than the Phillies this season. They've hit into 16 double plays in 16 games. That is crazy. So, I mean, that is, they're just, I don't know, man. It's been a tough watch, I guess, to put a bell on it. All right, let's do one last thing before we get out of here.
So we do this every year at the beginning, and, you know, after the first couple weeks of the season. And I figured it's, you know, let's trot it out today instead of waiting till later in the year. And there's some teams that are off to fast starts, some teams that are off to slow starts. Just want to run a few by you and say, do you buy this out of them, or is their season going to turn around, right? So let's start with the team that the Phillies just played, the Pittsburgh Pirates. You know, they're 11-5. They did this last year, got off to a fantastic start, and then fell apart and became a nobody. I just got the sense, watching them this weekend, listening to some of the guys talk in the locker room after the game yesterday, because I was in there, that there's a different feeling about this team. And I just wanted to kind of get your impression of them after watching four games that they played.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that they certainly lack some offensive punch. I don't buy them really offensively, but I think that the pitching has been good. I think Marco Gonzalez, who isn't particularly good anyway, just went on the IL. But
yep.
They have some athleticism. They can throw it a little bit. To me, it's like, how aggressive are they going to be with Paul Skeens if they bring him up at some point and he's as advertised, which by all counts, he certainly appears to be so far. They could be interesting. You know, do I think they're a playoff team? I don't. But do I think that they're a team that when you see them on the schedule, much like what we saw this past weekend, like, damn, this is going to be a pain in the ass. And I think that's what they are. If you said to me over under 80.5 wins right now, I might skew over maybe an 81, 82 win team.
I think they're last year's Cubs. I think that they're that kind of team. They're going to hang around. They're going to be in this for a while. They're going to be like a cute story and probably just not have enough at the end and miss out. But I think that that's kind of what they're going to be. And you know, I got just a real sense of what. And they brought in some players. They brought in some vets this year to go with their young players, with the young talent they have. And that these veteran guys, I mean, look, you saw Aroldis Chapman throwing for the Pittsburgh Pirates, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that's something, you know. But even still, I mean, like, they got a nice little platoon going at first base with Connor Joe and Rowdy Tellez. Again, guys who've been around a little bit. They're not great players, but they do certain things well and help that team, right? For sure. You know, you got a McCutcheon as a great leader in that clubhouse. You know, and I like some of their young players. You know, I like that Jared Triolo, who's been playing second base for them. I think he's a gamer. I really like him a lot. I think there's something there to that team. Okay, one more in the National League, and then we'll go to the American League. San Francisco Giants, 6-10 to start the year. This was a team you and I kind of thought might have a little bit. I think I liked them a little bit better than you did. That might be a team that can push towards the top of the Western Division. Obviously not. We didn't think anybody was going to ultimately catch the Dodgers, but we thought that they made some nice adds. Blake Snell got lit up yesterday by the Tampa Bay Rays. What do you think off that? They're off to a really slow start at 6-10.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. I don't think that they, I just don't like them offensively. The pitching, I think, will be better. Snell, I think Snell's been off to a slow start. That's to be expected to a degree, I think. Maybe he gets back into it, but that division is tough, man. Like I said, that I thought the Padres were going to have a little bit of a bounce back. They've gotten off to an okay start, playing 500. Arizona's kind of just, you know, they've been okay. I just think that the Padres, Dodgers, and Diamondbacks are all better than that team. And I kind of think that they're a sub 500 team.
They might be. I might have misread that one. I kind of thought that they had made some nice moves, especially late in spring training, to make some adds to that roster. Conforto's gotten off to a nice start for them. Like he looks like he's back to the player he was before he missed a year. And I kind of thought, okay, there's a chance here. But really, they've gotten off to a slow start. Let's bounce over to the American League for a second, because the American League Central has three teams that have gotten off to pretty solid starts, and none of them are the Minnesota Twins, who we picked to win that division.
Yeah.
But you got the Guardians at 10-5, the Royals at 10-6, and the Tigers at 9-6, all off to solid starts. Who saw that coming, and can any of them sustain?
You know who has the best run differential in Major League Baseball right now?
Is that the Royals?
It'd be the Kansas City Royals, plus 37. It, I mean, they've been off to a great start. They've also have the benefit of now playing the White Sox, which probably will further help them. I mean, do I think that they're legit, or any of these teams in the Central legit? Listen, we talked about Detroit being a little bit better this year. They've certainly done a nice job thus far. Pitching's been pretty good. I don't think that any of those teams are going to separate from one another really at the top. I think the Twins are a little bit better than they've played so far. And so for that reason, I could see all of those teams sort of hanging in the mix. There's no question in my mind that you get to August and you could have three or four of these teams all within 2-3 games of one another. There's not one team in that division is good enough to blow the doors off and run by them 8, 9, 10 games.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's going to be a fascinating race, that division. And the last thing I want to touch on is the American League West, because this is the division.
I know where you're going with this.
That I don't understand. The Oakland A's are 7-9. I watched the end of that game yesterday that they won against the Nationals. This is a talk about sickness. Okay, we talk about this, right? I came home from the Phillies game and put on A's Nationals. Okay,
that's pretty bad, man.
Okay, put on A's Nationals. The A's are 7-9. And the Astros are in last place at 6-11. The Mariners are 6-10. Two teams we thought would be at the top of the division, and nobody's above 500. You got the Rangers are 8-8, the Angels 7-8, A's 7-9. Is there anything to make of this, or is this just April baseball?
This to me is more of a case of April baseball. The A's stink. Like they straight up stink. They've won 6 of their last 10 games. That's great. They still have one of the worst run differentials in all of baseball, and they have one of the absolute worst offenses in all of baseball. They've only scored 47 runs in 16 games so far.
Yeah.
That is not going to sustain in a sense of hanging around 500. They'll fall off. They're brutal, brutal team, brutal franchise. I wish that whatever is going to happen with them just gets expedited, because that whole organization is an absolute disgrace to the game. I feel bad for their players. I do.
Yeah.
I really do, playing for that team.
I agree with you. But what about, do you worry about Houston at all off to this bad?
A little bit. They're pitching. You know, Framber Valdez has had some, an injury setback here early. And the pitching hasn't been very good. I mean, that's the biggest problem. You look at that lineup, and you would expect that in time things will sort of shake out. But, they've played bad baseball so far. And, you know, you're just not accustomed to seeing that with them.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, they've given up 93 runs so far. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that is more runs than any team in the American League. And
only the Rockies, I think, have given up more.
Only the Rockies and Marlins have given Marlins up more runs so far. So, you're just not used to seeing that with the Astros.
Yeah, they've given up more than the White Sox, who are 2-13.
Crazy. Crazy.
Right. So, anyway.
All right.
So, there you go. There's our April assessment of
It's April. It's only April 15th. Like, not only is it only April, it's only April 15th. And that would be my parting wisdom for our listeners. I know you're annoyed. It's ugly. And it's okay to be annoyed. Don't let people tell you that you are irrational or overreacting or an idiot for being angry or frustrated with how the Phillies have played so far. But it is April 15th. So we will see. All right. Yeah. We will see this week. Rockies, White Sox, terrible teams coming in here. Can the Phillies out-crap these two teams? We'll find out.
And I, one last thing, Bob, here is that I just a programming note. We may have a special guest on the show later this week.
That would be quite exciting.
Been working.
Are we
going to
be on location with this guest? Or
yes, yes, I talked about it with the PR people, and you know, I said that, you know, hey, we would have to bring our camera guy in, and everything else, and they're like, yeah, no worries. We'll see if we can set it up. So I'll follow up on that today, and maybe we'll make an announcement on social media about that.
That'd be great. All right, looking forward to that. For Anthony Sanfilippo, I'm Bob Wankel. We will talk to you later this week. All right.